Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of Scripture will be overcome by his attacks. Now notice this next little sentence. Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross the mind. That's Satan's focus. I want to emphasize that as we did last week, as we open up this series, as we go to part two today. Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross the mind. Now, according to this quote from Great Controversy 519, you tell me, what is our defense against the inventions of every possible kind to engross our mind? What's our defense? Prayer and the searching of Scripture. And as I do part two today, you will clearly see the absolute necessity. You will be blown away. So let's get started by reviewing what we covered last week. First of all, we looked at Battle for Your Soul, Part 1, The Plantings in the Garden. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Genesis, the third chapter. Let's review those verses as we prepare for Part 2 of this series. Genesis, the third chapter. Now, children, open your Bibles. I hope you brought them with you. I want you children to follow along as we read these Scriptures, because God has a message for every age group that's here every time we come to worship. Not just here and not just today, but all times. So children, open your Bibles to Genesis, the third chapter. That's the first book in the Bible, the third chapter of the Bible. And notice what it says starting with verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now notice last week we discovered, first of all, Eve was told not to separate from Adam. Please keep this in your mind. Not to separate from your support system, not to separate from your place where you receive encouragement and strength. She separated from him, and then she got into a discussion with the enemy. And the next slide I'm going to show you, I'm going to go down 3, 4, 5, but the next one just blows me away. And just for review though, we are in no way capable of getting into a debate with Satan, because she was taken out in the debate. So notice that. And what did he do in the garden? Here's the plantings of the garden. God lied to you. By the way, he deceived you. By the way, God is withholding something really good from you. By the way, if you disobey, good will result from it. And there is more things beyond the Word of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of this before, but you need to focus on these and understand the plantings of the garden are right here, folks. What we're facing today came straight out of the Garden of Eden. Take a look at this, if you would. Number one. Oh, I forgot. This is the one. Eve was not ignorant. Eve was not rebellious. Eve was not unhappy. And Eve was not sinful. And yet, she was deceived. Who are we to think that if Eve can fall in the garden in her perfect condition, that we can stand up to Satan and his deceptions? See, we had to review this. So what are the plantings in the garden? Number one, spiritualism. You shall not surely die. Take a look in your bulletins and you will find a review bulletin insert for you to take home in case you lost it from last week. In case you're here for the first time this week and you didn't get it last week. Here it is. You shall not surely die, spiritualism. He said, then your eyes shall be open. That's Eastern religion. And you shall be like gods, he said to her. That's the New Age movement. And by the way, you will know good and evil. That's paganism. The tree is good for food. That's appetite. Pleasant to the eye. That's the media. Desire to make one wise. That's Jesuitism. Gave unto his husband. She gave unto her husband. And he did eat. Evangelism. And questioning God's word is the emerging church. Folks, if you look carefully, you'll see that he invents every possible device to engross the mind. And believe me, in Christianity today, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church around the world, he is incredibly succeeding. And today we're going to look at part two of Battle for the Mind, the emerging church, emerging from what? And by the way, emerging means to come forth. Before we get started, let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, I want to thank you for revealing information to us that we need in these last days, especially to fortify our minds with the truth so that we can understand the falsehood and the deceptions more fully. We should never be in ignorance, Lord, and how thankful we are that the Paradise Church has dedicated itself to unveil the falsehoods and to let light fully shine. Lord, use me now in spite of me and make this concept or this presentation on what is the emerging church simple and understandable. But enlighten us so that we can see the trap that is being set for those who are careless, who do not pray, and who do not study their Bibles. So, Lord, use me to this end. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go. Number one, notice if you would first, there are three texts that we are going to look at because there are three problems. Text number one, 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Go there with me, if you would. In your New Testament, Paul writing to Timothy, he says something very important to this young minister just before he was beheaded. 2 Timothy 4:3. Notice what he says very carefully. There's three texts and there's three problems. The first text in verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Whoa, wait a minute. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own what? Lust. They shall heap to themselves preachers, teachers, having itching ears. We want a preacher that'll say to us what we want him to say. We'll let him know exactly what we want, and if not, we'll get rid of him. And they shall turn away their ear from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The first problem is what? And I know you'll miss it. The first problem, folks, is, say it. It's us. We're easily deceived. The day will come, he said, Paul, preach that word, or Timothy, Preach the word in season, out of the season. No matter what, open your Bibles, give it to the people. Because the day is coming when they're not going to listen. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will rather hire a preacher who says good things to them. But there's a second problem. 2 Corinthians 11. Anybody already know what that is? 2 Corinthians 2:11-14? Ooh, yes. Bless your heart, sister. Right on. Know your Bible. Problem number two is this. Verse 14. And no marvel. What are you talking about? No marvel. Verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And don't marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What is the second problem? I think somebody said it. It's Satan. You see, it's not just you. On the inside, it's us. On the outside, it's Satan. But there's a third problem. Ezekiel. Go with me to Ezekiel and let's look at the third problem. I really want to highlight this for you because honestly, except for avid studies of Scripture, it's hard to believe what I'm going to read to you. So go to Ezekiel 22, verse 25, and we will see what the third problem is. So we've got us is a problem. We got Satan is a problem. All right, verse 25. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravaging the prey, they have devoured souls, the battle for your souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof, in the midst of Israel, God's chosen people. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed a difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. And her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravaging the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies. Remember that, divining lies in them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make a hedge about and stand in the gap before me for the people of Israel, for my chosen people and the city of Jerusalem, that I should not destroy it. But I didn't find one. We are a problem. Satan is a problem, and leadership is a problem, folks. Those who neglect prayer and the study of Scripture will be taken out by one of these three, one of these two, or all three of them. That is what we have to note first as we now look at the emerging church. Let me define it for you. The emerging church movement going on right now and has been for quite a while consists of a diverse group of people who identify with Christianity, but who feel that reaching the postmodern world requires us to radically reshape the church's beliefs and practices to conform to postmodernism. Change the church's beliefs and radically practices to conform to what the postmoderns want. By the way, folks, let me take a time out real quick here and come off to the side. These mega churches, that's exactly what they're doing. They are presenting to people exactly what they want, and that's why they're coming in hordes, folks. But my heart aches for them, and the reason I'm presenting this to you is, first of all, you're not taken in by them, but secondly, you can minister to those who are going there thinking they're being fed because they are hungry and searching, and they are being deceived. The concept is, give them what they want. And so notice what postmodernism, I love this. What is postmodernism, by the way? Okay, so we're looking at the merging church, and they're saying, we've got to change because we're no longer modern people, we're postmodern. We're beyond modern, which was the old way of doing church. We need to do things new because we're now postmodern. So listen to this. I thought you'd really love this. Postmodern is a term that has been dissected and broken down into various schemes of subcategories, and there is no absolute unanimity among postmodern thinkers on what that means. I'm serious! Now, to blow you away, and you'll have a hard time noticing this. Parents, get your pen out. Write this down on your little insert. The Spirit led me. I couldn't believe it. Believe it or not, I wanted a picture of an emerging church. And so I went on the internet, and here's what I wrote. I put in the search. Picture of an emerging church. And it led me to a website that actually has posters. There must have been 40 or 50 posters. And when you see what these posters, I only took the mundane ones. There are some that would have so grossed you out, or you would have said, Pastor, that was inappropriate, that you would have yelled at me for showing them to you. So you go on the website and you see what they're saying on these posters. Look what it says. Postmodern. It's our word. Don't use it. Don't try to define it. Above all, don't label us with it, even if we apply it to ourselves. And there in the back is a banner being held up. Down with meta-narratives. By the way, meta-narrative is grand narrative. That means, don't tell me there's a universal truth. There's only truth for this group, it's their truth, and then there's this group, and they've got that truth, and there's only local truths, local narratives. This is a religious movement, folks. This is what's happening in our country. This includes some of the authors you've been reading, which in private, I'll tell you who they are and throw those books away. I am dead serious. Because you see, the plantings in the garden were so pervasive and so incredibly powerful that a perfect, sinless being named Eve was taken out by the plantings. The emerging church. I don't want any meta-narratives. But let's define it now. Ready? The rejection of certain central features of the modern project. That's what the emerging churches. They are now rejecting old way of doing things. We're now new. Such as its quest for certainty, objective, and universal knowledge. Now, let me put it in Peter Neary terms. They are saying, There is no absolute truth. It doesn't exist. So don't force it upon us like you have done in the past. We are new postmodern now. We don't want to hear your dogma. We will decide what's right. See, you're sitting there going, Pastor, you must be misreading this stuff. Oh, okay. For many shall come in my name, Ray Youngin. I read that book. A Time of Departing, Ray Youngin. Read that book. These are non-Adventists, by the way. Undone by Roger Oakley. What's undone? The emerging church, the new reformation, or an end time deception? Then there's this Adventist book by Tom Mostert, Hidden Heresies, a spiritualism invading Adventist churches today. Is spiritualism invading Adventist churches today? Here's another Adventist book called The Omega of Rebellion, what every Adventist needs to know. You can look at these. I've read every one of them. Two of them I read twice. Because it's so mind-boggling. Folks, they are rejecting certain objective universal knowledge. There is no such a thing. Along with dualism. Right and wrong. Good and bad. We don't want that. There is no dualism. And it's assumption of goodness of knowledge. Do you get that? Do you realize what they're saying? Oh, go ahead and read your Bible all you want, but that's passé. That's no longer fruitful. It's not needed. We're a new group of people. Deal with us differently. And churches are teaching this. Some are more extreme than others. Take a look at this. God has given us universal true doctrinal revelation that can be understood, shared, defended, and contextualized. And number two, Bible language means what it says. They are saying no to both. Postmodern rejection of these two principles caused them to deconstruct. Notice they have their own language, by the way. Deconstruct. The landscape of texts, including Scripture. Watch this. Redefining the words and the interpreting the text to mean whatever they feel as they have an encounter with the text language. And would you believe I found a poster on that website? Deconstruction. What kind of freedom would it be if we couldn't make the Bible mean what we want it to mean? Now do you believe me? This is the Emerging Church website. One of the websites that supports the concept of Emerging Church. And they have a poster talking about deconstruction. We want the Bible to say what we want it to say. You know what's so hard about you? I'm a convert from Catholicism. I've been on the outside, folks. Some of you are born and raised, and you're sitting there thinking, no way. I can't believe that's going on in other Christian churches. This is exaggeration. That's how close Jesus is to coming, folks. I am telling you, there is no light in them, and they think they have light. Well, let's go on. Since we cannot know absolute truth, this is their premise. Number one, we cannot be dogmatic about doctrine. Don't tell me about the Sabbath. You're judging me. I will believe what I want to believe. Any day, you can worship any day of the week. Number two, since we cannot know absolute truth, we cannot be dogmatic about moral standards. Do you wonder what that's talking about? Okay, can I get, cover your little kids' ears real quick. Absolute stands on on issues such as homosexuality are viewed as obsolete. Activities such as drinking, clubbing, watching sexually explicit movies, using profanity are seen by some emergents as opportunities to show those who are not part of the Christian community that postmodern Christians do not think they are better than them through any false sense of moral superiority. Clubbing, drinking. Since we cannot know absolute truth, number three, dogmatic preaching must give way to dialogue between peoples of what? All beliefs. Do you understand that if I was invited to speak to an emerging church congregation, when I knelt down and prayed a prayer before I preached, they would have got up and left? Oh, I won't say that. When I got off my knees, they'd have looked at me funny, but when I opened my mouth, they would have walked out. Do you understand? You see, it's God's truth fits into the box of who you are, not who somebody else says you are. Oh man, I don't know how else to say this. Since we cannot know absolute truth, number four, spiritual feeling and social action make up the only reliable substance of Christianity. Okay, now, I need to say at this point, next week is my part three, and I will clarify some of these very issues. Next week in part three, I might as well tell you right now so that you will know. It is, the title is, I don't have it. Where did my title go? Oh yeah, there it is. Okay. Spiritual formation. Power from within. I'm going to talk to you about the next concept, spiritual formation. Folks, since there's no absolute truth, feeling becomes very important. And social action becomes very important. By the way, I forgot to mention in three, which I'll get to next week also, that has to do with ecumenicalism. Let's forget our differences and come together, no matter what. All right, I'm just going to keep plugging along here. Since we cannot know absolute truth, number five, to capture a sacred feeling, we must reconnect with what? With what? Ancient worship forms. You better be here next... Well, it isn't next week, it's in 2 weeks. But I want you to be here next week. Our youth on our trip will be speaking next week about their trip. But I'll be back the week after that. Ancient worship forms. And finally, since we cannot know absolute truth, ultimate goal, make the world a better place. The emerging church, folks, I've given you the saline points. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that every single emerging church is as in deep to this as others, because some of them are so casual about their beliefs that it's just really scary to me. But they are all thinking in these very points. There is no absolute truth. Therefore, how far do we go? That's their decision to make. But even to enter this ground is wrong according to the Bible and according to prayer. Take a look at this. Do you know what that mug is? Don't say it. Apologetics, meaning the defense of truth. Orthodoxy, heretical. Who cares? Let's find some common ground. That's one of the posters that advocate this movement. And finally, I thought this in closing was very enlightening. Emerging church, folks. Whatever you want. That's exactly what that poster is intending to convey. And by the way, again, I did not show you the highly, I think, very blasphemy posters that I found intermingled in amongst these posters that explain the emerging church. The emerging church from what? Revelation 17:8. This is where I get into big trouble. Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, that they behold the beast that was and yet is to come. Emerging from what? A caterpillar emerging as a moth, or a caterpillar emerging as a beautiful butterfly, dainty, gorgeous? No. Emerging from the bottomless pit. In fact, folks, I should have said emerging from the plantings of the garden. And now you see why at the beginning of this sermon, the purpose is not to create fanatics that begin to condemn, but instead to enlighten you on what is going on out there, so that when you are led to one of these people, you first of all won't be shocked when they say some of the things they will say to you, and secondly, hopefully you will know how to give them an answer for the hope that is in you that only comes from the Bible. And so the next part three, spiritual formation, a power to reckon with. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for enlightening us in a different way than we're used to, so that we are alert to what Satan is up to, so that we can reject his approach. First of all, Lord, may this happen individually to every person here. And secondly, may this be the focus and the tenor of the Paradise Church. And thirdly, may it be the attitude of all of the churches in the valley. So, Father in heaven, give us your Spirit to utilize this information to bring us closer to you, and keep reminding us that our protection is only in prayer and the study of Scripture. So help each person now, Lord, to make a decision to be more faithful, for understanding that the plantings of the garden are more enlightening, or draw us more than we would ever have thought. And thank you for hearing our prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.